Kidney School, www.kidneyschool.org. Module 8, Vascular Access, a Lifeline for Dialysis.
Hi, my name's Nancy Spaeth, and I'm a member of the Life Options Council. My kidneys failed in 1966 when I was 19 years old. Today, I'm a grandma, and I work full-time as a rehab nurse. I'm having a really good life with kidney failure, and you can too.
Imagine for a moment that you are a firefighter putting out a fire in an office building. Your best chance of success would depend on one crucial thing. Can you think of what it is? If you thought it was the hose that carries water to put out the fire, you're right. This hose would be your lifeline. Without it, your life would be in danger. How secure would you feel walking into raging flames with a garden hose? Not very. When your kidneys no longer work, one treatment choice is hemodialysis, or HD. HD filters waste and removes excess fluid from your body. Your lifeline in HD is a vascular access, a special passageway to your bloodstream created by a minor surgery so dialysis can keep you healthy. A good access is a bit like a fire hose. It will have a strong blood flow so you can get the full benefit of dialysis. And that means you can feel as well as possible and have a better life. It's up to you to keep your access as healthy as possible. Taking good care of your access can help you have a better life on HD. Our goal with this module is to share what's most important about vascular access. We want to help you learn about accesses and how to take good care of them by the time you finish this module. If you have an access now and you are on dialysis, you probably know which type you have. We'll help you to learn about each type and how to take good care of your access so it will last as long as possible. Having an access before you need dialysis is a huge plus. A new vascular access takes time to mature so it's ready to use, and in this module, we will help you to make sure it is ready when you need it. If you have an access but it has not been used for dialysis yet, you may be worried about the needles and what dialysis will be like. This is very normal. In this module, we'll also hear from people who felt like this and learn more about medications to make the needles easier on you. Two dialysis needles are usually used for hemodialysis, or HD. The arterial needle takes your blood to the dialyzer. The venous needle returns the clean blood to your body. Many people who choose HD are worried about the needles, but medication can be used to numb the needle sites. We'll tell you more about them later in this module. Some people choose to do peritoneal dialysis, PD, instead of HD, because instead of needles, a catheter in the abdomen is used. For more information about PD, listen to Module 2, Treatment Options for Kidney Failure. If you don't have an access yet, you may be concerned about the surgery to create an access or curious about what it will look like when you have one. This concern is very normal. The unknown can be scary. We'll tell you about what to expect so it won't be unknown anymore. If you know that you will be choosing hemodialysis, protect your non-dominant arm, the one you don't use to write. Don't let anyone take your blood pressure, draw blood, or start an IV on that arm. These steps can improve your chances of having a good access. To help you keep your lifeline in top shape, we will use this module to help you learn types of vascular access, how the access is used for dialysis, and how you can keep your access healthy. So let's get started. Types of vascular access. The types of access we'll tell you about in this module have one thing in common. Their job is to make it easier to reach your blood vessels to filter and clean your blood with HD. You have two kinds of blood vessels in your body, arteries and veins. Arteries are large, strong blood vessels that carry oxygen-rich blood from your heart and lungs to the rest of your body. Veins carry blood back to your heart and lungs to pick up more oxygen. Which type of blood vessel is used in dialysis? Both. Here's why. In HD, an artery takes your blood to the dialyzer, or artificial kidney, to be cleaned. A vein brings your clean blood back to you. To make it easier for you and your care team, an access is usually created in an arm. But the veins in your arm are too small for dialysis, and the arteries in your arm are deep below your skin, too hard to reach with dialysis needles. You need an access that will be easy to use and that will give you good dialysis. So a vascular or blood vessel surgeon will connect an artery to a vein in a minor surgery. Before we tell you about types of access, there is a very important thing you need to know. Every person has only a few possible sites where an access can be created, in the arms, legs, neck, or chest.
Sometimes people run out of access sites and must use a catheter or have a kidney transplant or switch to PD to live. This is why you need to know how to take the best possible care of every access. There are three types of vascular access we'll tell you about in this module: fistula, graft, and catheter. Let's start with a fistula. A fistula is made by sewing an artery to a vein, usually in your arm. It is usually called an arteriovenous or artery vein fistula, or AV fistula. When your artery is hooked up to your vein, strong blood flow from the artery makes the vein bigger and stronger. And since your veins are close to your skin's surface, the new access is easy to reach. A fistula is the best type of access for two reasons. Your veins and arteries are part of your body, so the fistula is less prone to infection or blood clots than the other types of access. Your veins and arteries self-heal after each needle stick, so a fistula can last a long time. AV fistula first. Medicare started fistula first in 2003 because fistulas are the best type of access when they are possible. The goal of the program is to raise the use of fistula use in the United States and decrease the use of catheters. Fistula First includes doctors, surgeons, nurses, clinics, social workers, and patients. These partners are working to change practice and assure that fistulas are the first choice for all patients who can have one. You can find lots of helpful resources to learn about fistulas at www.fistulafirst.org/patients. With good care, a fistula can last for decades. Bruce, who started HD in 1971, says, "I was 13 when I first went on dialysis and had to have a second surgery to get a good fistula. I was told even back then to exercise the fistula arm by lifting light weights and squeezing a tennis ball 3 or 4 times a day. It worked so well for me that the fistula ripened in half the time and is still working today, 30 years later. I have had to have 4 revisions to the fistula over the years, but the first revision was not needed for 12 years. Maybe my youth, good vascular genetics, or plain dumb luck helped. But if you can get a good fistula to work, it's the best long-term access, in most cases, for hemodialysis." Not everyone has blood vessels that work for a fistula. Here are some things your doctor and surgeon will check to see what kind of access will be best for you. Will you still have enough blood flow to your hand and arm? Are the veins in your arm healthy, straight, and long enough? Are your blood vessels poor due to diabetes, heart disease, previous surgeries, or too many blood draws or IV lines? Have you ever had chest surgery or a pacemaker? This can reduce blood flow to your arms. Is one arm bigger? Blood flow may be less in a smaller arm. Are the veins close to the surface of your skin for easy access? A study of 5,507 dialysis patients published in the medical journal Kidney International shows that having a fistula means a better chance of living longer for people with and without diabetes. People with an HD catheter have a 50% higher death rate than those with a fistula. In Europe and Canada, more than 50% of people on hemodialysis have fistulas. But in the U.S., fewer than 46% have fistulas, even though fistulas are the best type of access. Do Americans have worse blood vessels? Maybe. Many more U.S. dialysis patients have diabetes, which can lead to poor blood vessels. Many top U.S. doctors want to increase the number of Americans with fistulas. Evidence-based clinical practice guidelines from the National Kidney Foundation, Kidney Disease Outcomes Quality Initiative, recommend fistulas for people whose blood vessels will support them. If you would like a fistula, ask your doctor if a fistula would work for you, even if you had a graft before. Here are some other ways you can improve your chance of having a fistula. Ask your doctor to suggest a vascular surgeon who has done lots of fistulas and knows how key this lifeline is. This doctor may not be in your immediate area. Ask your surgeon for vessel mapping. This painless form of ultrasound lets the doctor see your veins and arteries. Vessel mapping can help your doctor plan an access that works best for you. It means fewer surprises during surgery. Ask your surgeon about a venogram or contrast x-ray of blood vessels, another way to look at the blood vessels before doing surgery. This is recommended if you have had chest surgery or a pacemaker in the past, or if one arm is bigger than the other. After surgery, it takes at least 1 month and ideally 3 to 4 months for a fistula to mature enough for dialysis. This means you and your doctor need to talk about your timetable. Your doctor may suggest exercises to help your fistula mature faster. In a forearm fistula, making a fist or squeezing a rubber ball or hand grip may increase blood flow to your fistula, helping it to work better and mature faster. Try squeezing at every TV or radio commercial to remind yourself to do it. For an upper arm fistula, use a 2 to 5 pound dumbbell or a soup can and do curls, which is bending your arm at the elbow like a weightlifter. When should I get a dialysis access? If you know you will need dialysis, keep in touch with your kidney specialist. Guidelines for kidney disease say a fistula should be created within a year of needing dialysis. But it can be hard to tell how fast kidney disease will progress. So the guidelines recommend getting a fistula. 1. When the serum creatinine level is greater than 4 milligrams per deciliter. 2. When the creatinine clearance is less than 25 milliliters per minute. 3. Within 1 year of the expected need for dialysis. If you are on HD or need to start soon and you want an AV fistula, you will need to use a temporary form of access for a while. Using a fistula before it is mature may lead to poor dialysis or even loss of your access. A fistula can help you live a long time on HD. A fistula is also noticeable and may cause people to be curious. If the look of the fistula bothers you, talk to some people who can help you deal with this and who can offer ideas and ways to make it less noticeable. Kidney disease is mostly hidden. People don't know you have it unless you tell them. But a fistula can be something that shows and something you will have to get used to. It is normal to be sad about changes to your body and okay to want to talk to someone about your feelings. Your dialysis social worker and other patients may be helpful to talk to. Body image and fistulas. Some people choose to cover up their fistula all the time, even wearing long sleeves in summer. Others are very upfront about their lifeline and use it to help teach others about kidney disease. How you handle your fistula is up to you. Mary says, I had my fistula put in at 14. I lied to everybody about what it was. I said I'd cut myself and needed stitches as a result of a ski accident. I remember rehearsing the alleged ski accident in my mind over and over so that I could tell a credible lie. I was so self-conscious of that fistula, so afraid that it would be discovered, that I wore long sleeves even in summer. I was afraid that I would be considered different and therefore separate from my peers. Nancy says, I wore my first short sleeve shirt today. It got up to almost 72 degrees. It felt great, but I grossed out a lot of people who had never seen my exposed access with all its lumps and bulges on my upper left arm. I'm less embarrassed about it than I was when I first had it, but I don't like to gross people out either. Oh well, hot weather usually wins, and then I just don't care. I prefer to be cool. Robin says, I know it's hard to even conceive of right now, but I think of my fistula as something that keeps me alive. Who cares what it looks like? If you're feeling in a good mood, you could explain to people about dialysis. If you're not feeling in an educating mode, think of some wild story, like that's where a tiger bit me on my last safari to the deepest, darkest jungles. Graft. The second type of access we'll tell you about is the arteriovenous or AV graft. The graft is like a fistula because it hooks a vein and artery together. The difference is that the graft uses a piece of tubing to bridge the two. The most popular material used for grafts today is a form of Teflon. Gore-Tex is another material that is used for grafts. Grafts are the most often used type of access in the U.S., but they are the second best kind of access. Compared to a fistula, a graft is more likely to become infected or clotted because the synthetic material is foreign to your body. Or develop holes because the synthetic material does not self-heal after needle punctures. For these reasons, most grafts will need a hospital tune-up, like a car needs a mechanic. How often? This depends on the graft and how well it is cared for. Guidelines for doctors say that at least 70% of new grafts should last 1 year, 60% last 2 years, and 50% should last for 3 years. If your graft fails, you may be able to have a fistula. Ask your doctor. Surgery to create a graft is a lot like surgery to create a fistula. After surgery, it takes 3 to 6 weeks before the new graft can be used for dialysis. After surgery, your arm may be swollen for a few weeks due to tissue trauma from the surgery. Once mature, a graft may not be as easily noticed as a fistula. But since most grafts need to be fixed or replaced over time, it is likely that you will have more than one scar to deal with. Some people look at their accesses as badges of honor in the battle with kidney disease. Without them, you wouldn't be here. Body image and grafts. Whatever makes you most comfortable is okay, whether it's proudly showing off your access or covering it up. Kathy says, "My upper left arm has a graft in it that I never even used. It's a mess. My lower left arm has my working graft that I have had several revisions on, and there are a couple of areas where after 6 years of use, it bulges. I look like Popeye. I could hide it all, I suppose, but when the weather gets hot, I want a short sleeve shirt. And I still swim whenever I get the chance. I decided not to let my life be dictated by what others think. I am enjoying this life, courtesy of the grace of God and this graft. I have used the opportunities presented to educate others about dialysis and organ donation. So instead of a negative, it turns into a big positive, you see. Just like my war wounds from having three kids, stretch marks, and C-section incision, I wouldn't trade them for anything." Serena says, "I have a skin-colored loose elastic sleeve I wear over my right forearm graft when I wear short sleeves. It goes from my wrist to my elbow. Although it is noticeable, it is nicer looking than my bumpy arm. But I mostly wear it to protect the bumps from getting nicked. I got it at a medical supply store. I think it's for burns. It is very comfortable and gives me some protection." Catheter. The third type of vascular access is a central venous catheter. A catheter is a plastic tube that is surgically placed in the neck, chest, or groin and connected to a central vein. The other end of the tubing is outside the skin and used for hooking up the dialysis tubing. Most catheters are temporary, used for weeks or months at most. They are mainly for short-term use until a graft or fistula is ready. Some patients, however, have a catheter as a permanent access. If a catheter must be used, the type can be important for your future access options. The KDOQI guidelines cover catheter use in dialysis. These guidelines say the internal jugular catheter is the preferred type. Here's why. When a central venous catheter is used, it can reduce blood flow to the arm on that side of the body. This can make those arm vessels impossible to use later for dialysis. The internal jugular catheters are less likely to harm blood vessels than another type of catheter, the subclavian. The internal jugular catheter can be placed so it comes out on the chest and can be hidden by shirts. Sometimes a femoral catheter is used for temporary access. This catheter is placed in the femoral vein in the groin. The femoral catheter is usually removed after each treatment and replaced for the next, an uncomfortable prospect. Plus, being so close to the groin, the femoral catheter is hard to keep germ-free. If your doctor suggests a femoral catheter for temporary access, ask if there are other options that would work for you. Catheters, helpful tips for women only. If you are a woman who will need to get a catheter for dialysis, here are a few tips that can make your life easier. 1. Bring along your bra or draw an outline of it on your chest with a surgical marker. You can't wear your bra when the catheter is being placed, but having it handy will help the doctor avoid putting the catheter in an awkward spot. 2. If the catheter will be tunneled under the skin, find out where the exit site will be. Ask the doctor not to place the catheter exit near your nipple, as this can be uncomfortable and hard to keep a dressing on. 3. The weight of large breasts can pull a catheter out. Since you are lying down when the catheter is put in, if you have large breasts, remind the doctor so he or she will be extra careful with placement and taping. What catheter placement feels like. Here's what people with catheters say about having a catheter put in. Salim says, "The vascular surgeon gave me a permanent catheter, the one that hangs out at my chest, tunneled up and stitched in under my skin at my neck. It was done under Versed and was mildly sore the first day, and after that it didn't bother me at all. It was easily hidden under my shirt, and I could even sleep on my stomach with it. I eventually got a systemic infection from it and spent a week in the hospital." Alicia said, "My Tessio catheter, which is a tunneled, cuffed catheter put in the chest area, only required one incision, and I was given some Versed, which just puts you down a little and relaxes you. The sensation was not one of great discomfort, but like someone pressing repeatedly on the chest area as the catheter is moved toward the neck. This lasted several months and never gave me any problems. Of the three types of vascular access fistula graft catheter, the catheter is the poorest option. Blood flow rates are often poor, so it is hard to get enough dialysis to feel your best. It extends outside of the body, so it is most prone to infection, and is so close to the heart that infection can be serious. Catheters are very likely to clot. The biggest plus of a catheter is that it can be used the same day for dialysis. So most people who find out they need dialysis right away will have a catheter. Any person on HD may need a catheter at some point if a fistula or graft needs repair. For some people, a catheter may be the only available access and dialysis lifeline. A catheter can be inserted in an operating room, a radiology suite, or even a hospital bed. Some drugs may be given to relax you and reduce pain. Catheter placement usually takes about 15 to 30 minutes. Catheter position must be checked by an X-ray to make sure the catheter is in the right blood vessel. Ask the doctor what signs to watch out for to be sure your catheter was placed correctly. Once your catheter is in, be sure your care team teaches you how to care for it safely. You will need to know, 1, how to take a shower without getting the catheter wet. 2, how to change the dressing if you need to. 3, how to clamp the catheter if it starts to bleed. 4, what to do if the catheter falls out or is accidentally pulled out. And 5, who to call if you have a catheter problem. Rarely, some people need to use catheters for long-term dialysis access. This includes people who don't have good enough blood vessels or whose hearts are not strong enough for a fistula or graft. Long-term catheters called tunnel-cuffed catheters are held in place with stitches and a special cuff that the skin grows into. Following your care team's instructions to keep a catheter clean and free of infection will help it last longer. If the catheter becomes infected or clogged, it can be replaced. What people say about dialysis with a catheter. People who have used catheters for dialysis can tell you what it's like. Ahmad says, "Catheters are very temperamental. You can't move around much during treatment or alarms go off. Also, you can't shower. I was told I could shower with my permanent catheter after a certain amount of time, but it seemed that every time I showered, that's when I'd get an infection and end up in the hospital for a week. I am really much happier with my graft, even though I have to have the needle sticks." Anita says, "I blew the fistula in my arm 2 years ago, and I said the catheter wouldn't be so bad, no needles in my arm. That isn't the case. We were only able to get a blood flow of about 200 from the neck catheter, when normally it's 400. Higher blood flows allow for better clearances. I couldn't wait to get that catheter out of my neck." Joe said, "I have had my tunnel-cuffed catheter in the same shoulder for almost a year and a half. I feel no pain with it now, nor did I when it was put in. My arms are free during dialysis, and having the catheter makes dialysis tolerable. I can turn around when I'm uncomfortable and my machine runs at 450, which is generally unheard of with a tunnel-cuffed catheter. I count my blessings since I never had a problem with it." Ruth says, "I was hospitalized twice for catheter infections. It wasn't fun. I ran very high fevers and had to be on IV antibiotics for 10 days. Since the catheter leaves an opening in a blood vessel, you need to be very careful to avoid any source of infection. Have a nurse teach you dressing change technique and give you a spare set of supplies. Keep your access visible at dialysis. When you are at dialysis, keep your access uncovered all the time so the staff can see it. This way, if a needle slips out or a line comes apart, the staff will know right away. Dialysis staff have ways to keep you warm, so make sure your access can always be seen. Using your vascular access for dialysis. Getting a vascular access is one step along the way to living with kidney failure. Using the access for dialysis is another step. Fistulas and grafts are similar in the way the needles are used, so in this section we'll talk about them together. We'll also talk about dialysis with a catheter. Even though you have already had dialysis with your access, you may still learn something new in this section. Let's walk through the next step. The idea of someone putting needles into your new access for dialysis can be scary. But think about this. Each year, more than 100,000 Americans start dialysis, and most do HD. This means a lot of people were able to get used to the needles. You will be able to, too. Once your access has been placed, the doctor or nurse will keep an eye on it and decide when it's ready to use. After your fistula or graft surgery, be sure to tell the doctor right away if your hand or arm feels cold, numb, or painful. This can mean that your hand is not getting enough blood, a rare complication that is more common in people with diabetes or peripheral vascular disease. Peripheral means the arm or leg. The fistula is ideally mature and ready to use after the vein is larger and the blood vessel wall is thicker, which takes from 1 to 3 months. A graft is usually mature and ready to use after the swelling has gone down, or about 2 to 3 weeks. Step 1, hand washing. The first step in using an access is for the staff person to wash his or her hands. This is important every single time. Hand washing and gloves are required by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA. They protect both you and your care team member. Make sure that whoever puts needles in your access washes his or her hands and puts on fresh gloves. Your unit will teach you how to wash your access arm. Even if you have taken a shower before coming to the unit, you should wash your arm before your treatment. Step 2, look for infection. The second step in using vascular access is to look at the access very closely. At each dialysis, your nurse or technician will look for signs of infection or damage to the access. These include redness, warmth, tenderness, pus or open sores, swelling, or ballooning of the access, and aneurysm. Putting needles through infected tissue can be dangerous for you. Harmful bacteria could be pushed into your bloodstream by the needles. This causes sepsis or blood poisoning. If you think your access may be infected, do not allow the staff to insert the needles. Some people with kidney failure don't get redness or swelling even when they have an infection. If you notice a fever or feel run down, be sure to tell your care team. Step 3, listen for the blood flow. If your access looks okay, the next step is to make sure that the blood flow through it is strong. The nurse or technician will place a stethoscope on the top of your access to listen to the blood flow. Step 4, clean the access with germ killer. The nurse or technician will clean off your access with a gauze pad and a germ-killing solution before the access is used for dialysis. The solution helps to keep germs that live on the skin from causing an infection. Step 5, insert the needles. Some people find that the needle sticks are not a big deal, a pinprick that lasts a second. Others are worried about them, sometimes a lot. Each unit does things a little differently. In some units, one or more medications may be available. And depending on your insurance, you may or may not have to pay for them. Before or after your access is checked and cleaned, a medication can be used to numb the needle sites. The medication will make you less likely to feel the needles and can help you a lot if you are afraid of needles or worried about pain. Several medications are often used for numbing dialysis needle sites. Lidocaine. A tiny needle can be used to inject a small amount of this drug just under the surface of the skin over your access. Lidocaine stings for a moment, but people who use it say it's worth it. Some people believe that lidocaine may cause scarring over time that makes it harder to place the needles. Liquid lidocaine. This product is on the skin for 5 to 10 minutes with a gauze pad over it instead of being injected. This saves 2 needle pricks per treatment. Chloroethane spray. This spray freezes the surface of the skin. If your access is deep, you may still feel some pain. Amla cream. Amla cream must be put on in a dime-sized amount at least an hour or two before dialysis. Then it needs to be covered with a plastic dressing. Before dialysis, it's washed off. Amla is costly, but it works very well. Insurance may not cover it. You may need to pay for it yourself. Topicane. This clear gel must be applied in a dime-sized amount 30 minutes to an hour before dialysis and covered with a dressing. One study found that over-the-counter Topicane worked faster than Emla, Elimax, and Tetracaine ointment and is often cheaper. Lessen pain. This product comes in single-use packets. It must be applied in dime-sized amounts over the needle sites at least 45 minutes before dialysis and covered with a dressing. Over-the-counter numbing cream. Please note, Kidney School does not endorse any product. Lydia says, "My husband tried Topicane, a 4% lidocaine cream for numbing stick sites, and was delighted. He had been using Emla for several months, and it did numb the area, but not as thoroughly as the Topicane. To get Topicane, we called ESBA Laboratories, the manufacturer, at 1-800-677-9299, and a very friendly person answered all of our questions. She said they ship by U.S. mail, and we should have it in 1 to 3 days. We did receive it in 3 days from Florida to California. It comes in three sizes, 10, 30, and 113 grams. My husband uses a small pea-sized drop of the gel, so one jar should last him at least several months, making the cost not nearly so bad. No prescription is needed. Although it is over-the-counter, our pharmacist had not heard of it and could not get it through the pharmacy warehouse. Please note, ESBA Laboratories has offered a 20% discount on Topicane to any person on dialysis who mentions Kidney School. For more information, visit www.topicane.com or call 800-677-9299. Needles. If you are afraid of even the idea of needles, there may be some other steps you can take to help yourself feel better. Here is a list of things you might be able to do. 1. Ask my doctor if PD is an option for me, and if not, why? 2. I have an AV fistula. Ask about the buttonhole technique. 3. Ask my doctor about desensitization therapy. 4. Talk to other patients about how they handled their fears. 5. Look into the possibility of hypnosis to help overcome my fear. 6. Learn how to insert my own needles so I'm in control. Putting in your own needles? People do that? They do. And people who put in their own needles find that it hurts less and makes them feel safer. This is probably not something you'll want to do right away, but it can be done. And putting in your own needles is the best way to have your dialysis lifeline last as long as possible. After your needle sites are numbed, if you have a fistula, a tourniquet will be put around your arm or leg to make sure the blood vessels stand up. This makes them easier to find. A tourniquet should always be used on a fistula, but not on a graft. After the blood vessels are found, one needle at a time is guided through the skin into the access, taped down, and hooked up to the dialysis tubing. If all goes well, you're ready for your HD treatment. During the treatment, your needles should not hurt. If they do, tell your care team. Flipping the needles. Some staff are taught that after the dialysis needle is placed in the access, it should be flipped over before it is taped down. When this is done, the sharp edge of the needle can scoop away some of the lining on the inside of the access. This can make the access weaker or cause excessive bleeding. Flipping the needles could mean that your access needs to be surgically repaired. Ask your care team not to flip your needles. What patients say about dialysis needles. What is it really like to have dialysis needles put in? People who have been through it can tell you. Brian says, "I don't use any medications. When I first began, I had much the same fear as you. Let's face it, I still do. What helped me was to visualize in my mind the upcoming procedure. Then I would tell myself the only part I really didn't like was the actual stick. I figured this would only last about 1/2 second for each needle. What I was dreading would only last a total of 1 second. I figured I could handle the pain that long." Lance says, "If you want to know about fear when it comes to being stuck, spend a few hours in my head for a while. Not only do I use Emla, but I use the injected lidocaine as well. I do not want to feel a thing when I am being put on. I am terrified of pain. I understand most people say that Emla cream works after an hour, but I tend to leave it on longer and it works better for me at about 2 to 3 hours. Unfortunately, that means that I need to get up at 5 a.m. each dialysis morning to put it on. But hey, the price for comfort, I guess. The cream is placed in a spot less than the size of a dime in the spot where the needle will go. Then it's covered with something to seal it and let it numb the skin. Sasha said, "My experience is that the lidocaine needles sting for a few seconds. Sometimes I don't even feel them anymore. On the other hand, the times I have felt the dialysis needles go in, it really did hurt, although not as bad as I would have thought. However, the pain lasted several minutes for me. I would rather have the lidocaine, and I'm glad I have the choice." What patients have to say about putting in their own needles. Here's what three people who put in their own needles say about it. Rich says, "I am a home hemo patient, and I made a deal with my wife that if she would help me with dialysis, I would do my own needles. It was about a year and a half before I felt comfortable inserting my own needles. I began to realize that no one knows my fistula as well as I do. Now, whenever I dialyze in-center, I still insert my own needles." You never know the qualifications of the person inserting the needles, and you know your own. Leanne says, "I put in my own needles for the first time today. This is interesting because I am legally blind, although I do have some vision, and I hadn't previously thought that I would be able to do this." John said, "You may want to think about inserting your own needles. Many have, and you can't imagine the sense of independence and relief that comes with doing this self-care task. It takes patience and a good sticker to teach you, but it makes all the difference after you've learned how." Well, it's not for everyone. My own experience is that it's worth an honest try once your fistula has matured to the point where the nephrologist and experienced nurse or tech consider it appropriate. Sometimes the first few uses of a new access can be hard. Your access is new and not yet known to your care team. It may also still be a little swollen, and the blood vessels may not be as large as they will be later. All of this can make it hard to get the needles placed correctly. It may take more than one try. Or at any time, your access can become infiltrated. This means a needle goes in one side of your access and out the other. Blood leaks out under your skin, causing swelling and bruising. An infiltration can damage your access. At the least, you will need to have a new needle placed, and the bruise can be painful. Putting needles into a new or hard-to-stick access is something that some staff people are really good at doing. You can ask that someone with good cannulation skills place your needles. When each treatment is over, the needles would be untaped and removed. As soon as the needles are all the way out, you will need to put pressure on the needle sites. Never let anyone press on your access while the needles are being removed. This can hurt your access. Holding your sites for about 10 minutes after the treatment will stop the bleeding. Your care team will teach you how to put on enough but not too much pressure so you don't hurt your access. It is best not to use clamps to hold the sites. They can cause clotting. Not holding your sites long enough can cause hematomas or bleeding under the skin. What is Steele syndrome? When a surgeon creates a fistula or graft, he or she must balance your need for dialysis with the function of your access arm. Steele syndrome means the access steals too much blood from your arm. It leaves your hand cold and numb. If you have Steele syndrome, tell your access surgeon right away. Your access may need repair. Meanwhile, wear a glove during treatment or change the position of your arm. These steps may help your arm to feel better. HD with a catheter. To give you HD treatment with a catheter, the staff person must wash his or her hands and put on clean gloves and a mask or face shield. You need to put on a mask too. If there is a dressing over your catheter, it will be taken off. Be sure that scissors are never used. They could cut the tubing and cause bleeding or let air into your bloodstream. If you do in-center HD, the nurse or technician will look at the skin before each treatment for signs of infection, which include redness or warmth, tenderness, pus, or fever. Then the staff person will feel along the length of the catheter to make sure it is still where it belongs under your skin and that no infection is present. If the catheter is doing okay, the end of the tube, called a port, will be cleaned off and soaked with a germ-killing solution for a few minutes and then dried. Then the dialysis tubing will be connected to the catheter ends for dialysis. Sounds pretty easy, right? And with catheters, no needles are used. But in the long term, a catheter is not a good choice for dialysis access.
if there is any way to avoid it. With a catheter, you are more likely to get an infection or a blood clot that will put you in the hospital for a week or more at a time. In contrast, the fistula, or even a graft, has fewer medical problems and is likely to last longer. Needles might be a small price to pay for a good life. How to keep your access healthy. In a perfect world, creating a vascular access would be like adding a new room onto your home. Once done, it would be sturdy, strong, and hold up under all the most extreme conditions. But not all home remodeling is perfect, and not all vascular accesses are either. Because accesses are not perfect, they tend to run into some common challenges that we'll tell you about in this section. But the good news is there is a lot you and your care team can do to keep your lifeline healthy. Infection, a common problem. Let's start with infection, a common challenge for all types of accesses. Bacteria are everywhere, on your skin and on the skin of your care team, in your nose, on surfaces. So too often, bacteria can find their way into your access. If they do, this can cause a bad infection. If enough bacteria get into your access, they can grow and spread through your whole body, causing blood poisoning or sepsis. Sepsis can be deadly. In fact, bacterial infections are the second leading cause of death for people on hemodialysis. Your best weapon against bacteria is keeping your access clean and protected. Your care team knows how important it is to avoid harmful bacteria. This is why they must wash their hands and put on clean gloves before they touch your access. You also have a major part in preventing infection. If you have a fistula or graft, wash your arm or leg with antibacterial soap or alcohol before each dialysis session. If you have a catheter, carefully follow the instructions you are given about not getting it wet and keeping it clean and dry. And make sure that the care team never leaves the catheter ends open to the air. Each end should have a cap or a syringe on it at all times if it isn't in use for dialysis. This will reduce your risk of infection. If you notice signs of infection, redness, warmth, tenderness, pus, or fever, tell your dialysis team right away. Treating an early infection may be as simple as taking antibiotic pills. Treating a late infection may mean IV antibiotics in the hospital. Or it may mean surgery to clean and flush out the infection. It may also mean loss of your access. Grafts and catheters are more likely to become infected than fistulas because both are foreign material. Catheters are most likely to become infected because they are both inside and outside the body. They act like an open doorway to let infection in. Stenosis, narrowing of blood vessels. A second common access challenge is narrowing of the blood vessels called stenosis. Stenosis slows the flow of blood through your access, and this means not getting good enough dialysis to keep you healthy. Stenosis happens slowly, and this means that whatever the cause, there is often time to fix it before it causes the loss of your access. There are early warning signs of stenosis in a fistula or graft, including a change in the thrill or vibration in your fistula or graft. Learn what your access usually feels like and check it every day. Call the doctor if it's different. A change in the brewery or sound of the flow through the fistula or graft. Learn what your access usually sounds like and listen to it every day. If the whoosh-whoosh of your access gets higher in pitch, like a tea kettle, call the doctor right away. Swelling, high venous pressure, and prolonged bleeding after dialysis are also signs of stenosis. Stenosis can be a challenge for people with catheters, too. A central venous catheter can cause central venous stenosis. This permanently reduces blood flow to the catheter sidearm. With central venous stenosis, there is enough blood flow for your arm, but not enough extra left for dialysis. This is how stenosis can ruin other possible access sites. If you have stenosis from a catheter, you are likely to know it. Here are some signs. Your hand on the catheter side may be cold and painful. Your arm may swell up so much that it can be hard to move it. Your neck, face, and chest or breast on the catheter side may swell. And new veins may grow on your upper arm or chest. If you see any signs of possible central venous stenosis, call your care team as soon as possible. Fixing stenosis.
If you or your care team think you might have stenosis in your fistula or graft, tests can be done to be sure. Ultrasound or x-rays using dye can check the blood flow. If there is a problem, several treatments can be tried. First, a tiny balloon can be inserted into the vessel and then inflated. This is called angioplasty. Or some centers recommend placing a metal expander called a stent into the vessel. And last, surgery can be done to revise the access. Stenosis can be caused by scar tissue from blood draws, blood pressure readings, intravenous lines, or too many needle sticks in a graft. So don't let anyone draw blood or start an IV in your access limb. Be sure that needle stick sites are rotated in your fistula or graft. And don't let anyone take blood pressure readings in your access arm. Thrombosis, or blood clots. Another common access challenge is blood clotting, also called thrombosis. Your blood has clotting cells called platelets. Platelets stick together to seal off damaged blood vessels like a cork seals up a bottle. Forming clots is their job. The problem is platelets also stick to scar tissue and damaged blood vessel walls in a fistula or graft. And of course, every needle puncture causes a little bit of damage. Everyone on HD gets needle sticks, but not everyone gets a clotted access. Why not? Usually because damage to the blood vessels isn't enough. To form a blood clot, blood must also be moving slowly through your access. And this is something you can help prevent. How? Here are some ideas. Stenosis is one cause of blood clots. You can find stenosis as early as possible by noting any changes in your thrill or brewery. Low blood pressure, which is much more likely with standard in-center HD than with daily or nocturnal HD, can cause blood clots. Tell your healthcare team right away if you have low blood pressure during dialysis. This might include feeling lightheaded, dizzy, or nauseous. Taking too much fluid off at dialysis can lead to blood clots. So avoid gaining too much fluid weight between treatments. Know your fluid removal goal and dry weight. Check the dialysis machine to make sure your fluid goal is set correctly. If you gain real weight, not fluid weight, tell your healthcare team so your dry weight can be adjusted. Putting too much pressure on the access or taking blood pressure readings in the access arm is another cause of clotting. You can help avoid this if you don't sleep on your access arm. Don't carry heavy things across your access. Don't wear a tight watch bracelet or elastic on your access arm. Learn how to hold your sights safely after dialysis. No clamps. Don't let anyone take blood pressure readings, draw blood, or start IVs on your access arm. Finally, getting the wrong dose of anti-clotting medication, heparin or Coumadin, can raise your risk of a blood clot. Know your medication dose and check to make sure you are given the right dose. Look out for traveling clots. A blood clot in your access may not stay put. Blood clots can break loose and travel through your body. If you recently had a blood clot and you have back pain or trouble breathing, seek emergency care. If a clot is not treated, it can seal off a fistula or graft so no blood can get through it. The fistula or graft will need to be repaired before it can be used. Sometimes repair is not possible and replacement is needed. Grafts are much more likely to clot than fistulas. Your own blood vessels have smooth linings that resist clots. No graft material now exists that can stop clots as well as your own blood vessels. Stenosis, narrowing of your blood vessels, happens slowly, but clotting can happen very quickly. So it's important for you to know the major warning sign. Your thrill slows or stops. If you notice no thrill, tell your doctor or nurse right away. If it is not a dialysis day, call the after-hours number for your dialysis center. Thrombosis can often be treated with injected medicine to dissolve the clot. It may also be treated with radiology or surgery. Clotting is often a problem with catheters, too. Anti-clotting medication is left in a catheter after it's used. But even so, clots can block up the tubing like a clogged faucet. To fix this, medication is used to dissolve the clot or the catheter may have to be replaced. Make sure the dialysis staff injects the medication quickly and in the right amount. Ask how much your catheter holds. The venous side will hold a little more than the arterial side. The last challenge we'll talk about in this module is for fistulas and grafts only. When a fistula or a graft is stuck too often in the same small area, the vessel walls can weaken. Over time, the weakened walls balloon out. In a fistula, this is called an aneurysm. In a graft, it is called a pseudoaneurysm or false aneurysm. There is risk of rupture, and repair is needed if the skin over an aneurysm or pseudoaneurysm won't heal or if a few needle sites are left. Both of these challenges can be avoided in the same way, by placing new needles at least 1/4 inch away from the last sites used. In this way, no one site is overused. In a fistula, needle holes heal themselves. Grafts don't heal themselves. Each dialysis needle leaves a hole. If the needle is inserted in the same spot over and over, the hole will get bigger. Over time, this tears the graft. This condition is referred to as one-site-itis and means the graft must be replaced. Try to keep track of where your next site should be. Draw a picture of your access or ask your surgeon to draw one for you. Make copies of the picture and use it to mark the needle sites each time you have dialysis. It is your job to know where your needle sites are and to tell your dialysis team member. It is your access and your health that is at stake. Keep track of your needle rotations. What is the buttonhole technique? Some people who have fistulas don't rotate their needle sites at all. Instead, they use the same 2, or sometimes 4, spots over and over again. In time, the needle channels through the skin heal over like a pierced earring hole. The holes look just like what you'd see for a button, so this is called the buttonhole technique. There is not enough scientific evidence to say everyone with a fistula should use the buttonhole technique. But people who do say that it is nearly painless, and the channel guides the needles into the access at just the right angle. Finally, don't be afraid to ask questions. With something as important as keeping your access healthy, there are plenty of questions. Here are some questions you will want to know the answers to. 1. Who should you contact after hours if you need to, and how? 2. What type of exercises should you do to help your access mature, and how often? 3. Can you lift weights? Get your arms dirty gardening? Which usual activities are okay, and which should you avoid, and why? 4. What precautions should you take for bathing, showers, swimming, etc.? 5. What dressings should you use to protect your access? 6. Can you change the dressings at home? 7. How should you clean your access? And 8. What other things should you do to protect your access? As we said at the beginning of this module, the goal of good access care is to keep your lifeline healthy so you get good dialysis. Your chances of keeping the access healthy are best when you are an active partner with your healthcare team. The job of Kidney School is to help you gain the tools you need to manage your own health and your access. This is the conclusion of Module 8 of Kidney School. We hope you enjoyed it and found it helpful, and will listen to the other modules.